Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I've titled this little message tonight, a rather abbreviated message, perhaps, Lessons from a Building Project. Lessons from a Building Project. We have several building projects here right now, both physical and spiritual, though, right? Spiritual building projects going on that are becoming more necessary and more concerning with the passing of time in both realms. Physically, we have the steeple issue that we're working on. We have a parking lot. Richard said, I can't even scrape it anymore. I have to back drag parts of it because the scraper blade just bumps into the asphalt and stops the truck. There's also the crawl space, especially on this side of the building. Now, don't move. You're okay. But there are some timber issues down there that need to be dealt with, and drying up the crawl space under the church. Pretty big job. Spiritually speaking, we have evangelism. We have discipleship. We have edification. We have a youth group and a children's program that Sunday school, and we want to raise the next generation of believers, somebody to follow in the footsteps of those of us who are now in charge and now responsible for the various ministries. In both realms, we ought to consider what the Bible has to say concerning the particular project, don't you think? And so my point is not preach about the steeple or the projects that we have, but to look at the projects in the Scriptures that are physical and look at how the lessons that are in those accounts of these building projects can actually be applied to both realms, to both the physical and the spiritual. And we ought to find out what the Bible has to say about whatever we're doing. God's Word is sufficient. It gives us the instruction that we need for every aspect of life. And so we need to be in the Word. For this cause, I would like to take you and take some time tonight to speak about lessons from physical building projects that apply to both realms. We'll start with the ark. Back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 says, And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, he says. Go down to verse 22, same chapter 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Lesson number one, and there will be six of them. Lesson number one is God gives explicit instruction, and blesses when we follow it. And I didn't read all the verses there. The word explicit means stated very clearly in detail, leaving no room for doubt or confusion. And so my point is God told Noah what to do, right? He didn't need to figure the square feet needed for every animal and add those all together and find out how big the ark needed to be. He didn't have to figure that out because God told him exactly what to do. Look at verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories. Pretty explicit, pretty plain what he needs to do with the dimensions and so forth. And then comes the blessing of God in chapter 8 and verse 13. They spend their time in the ark, and it came to pass, 8:13, it came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. So he followed the instruction and God blessed. That's my point, simply that. God gives explicit instruction. We're to follow the instruction and God blesses. What if he hadn't followed the instruction? If he hadn't done, or what if God hadn't given this type of instruction? There was room for all the animals. And there was room for all the provisions of the animals and the eight souls that were there. the pitch that God had put on the outside and provided for them, it lasted, right? For the whole year. It didn't leak. Go down and see if you can find some Dow caulking that'll do that on a ship. It won't work. But God had it all work. He had everything already determined. The size, the shape of the ark had been proven, has been proven, an optimal size for handling this, the seas like they would have been in that time. And the window allowed them to release the dove, the raven and the dove, and to see the light of day, for Noah to stick his head out and see that the land was dry. Everything was planned by God. Brothers and sisters, God gives instructions, maybe not always with the dimensions of what we're doing, the physical projects, but God always gives instruction, sufficient instruction, to guide us through the projects of life, whether it's in the physical realm or the spiritual realm. And so the instruction of the Word of God covers ark building, and it covers everything else too, right? Are you following His explicit, clear, detailed instruction for raising your children, investing your money, exercising your spiritual gifts? I could keep going. Probably your toes would be stepped on, because we don't always do everything God says. There are things that we need to be more serious about. If God were to tell you to do such and such a thing, and it was plain to you that that's what God wanted, would you do it now? If we read the Word looking for God's instruction, we would need to have that desire, that want to, as we talked about this morning, to be obedient to Him, to walk in His presence. He's given explicit instruction to this church as well. His blessing will follow if we'll obey, simply obey. I'm not talking about a physical project. I'm talking about a spiritual project, the house we're building for Him, the spiritual house here that we're building for Him. So this lesson was unquestionably intended by God to be illustrated in the building project of the ark. God gives instruction, follow the instruction, and He blesses. Lesson number two is found in Exodus chapter 40, Exodus 40 and verse 33. As I said, there are six of these lessons. I'm going to move rather quickly, so we'll have lots of time at the end. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And down to verse 33, that was verse 1. I said 33 before, didn't I? Verse 1. Now to verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Now the lesson here, though I haven't actually read it yet, the lesson number two is a building project, physical or spiritual, is not finished until God is glorified. Until God is glorified and His presence is manifested. Do you agree with that? A project, a spiritual project, is not finished until God is glorified and His presence is manifested. I think that comes from a physical, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, as it were. Look at verse 34 of chapter 40. It says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journey and all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was upon it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel there throughout all their journeys. So if these verses that I just read weren't part of this story, the tabernacle would have been a pretty useless building, right? It was the manifest presence of God. Manifest how? There was a cloud, a pillar of cloud. There was a pillar of fire. And the fire would pick up and it would move and they would follow it. And the Lord would lead them in that way. I want us to affirm tonight that this building, physical building and spiritual building, is here for the sole purpose of what? glorifying God. Now I'm going to say that again. You say amen if you agree. This building, physical, this building, spiritual, is here for the sole purpose of glorifying our God and manifesting His presence. That's what we're here for. In either realm, right? In either realm. Glorify God, manifest His presence. The lesson is unquestionably intended, I think, in this story of the building of the tabernacle. Thirdly, we'll go to the temple of Ezra. In Ezra chapter 6 and verse 3, Ezra 6, 3, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. So, Ezra chapter 6 and verse 3. The building of the temple. It says, this would be the second temple. They call it the second temple. And the second temple lasted a long time, kind of refurbished all the way up to the time of King Herod. Verse 3 says, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, and the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. Skip down to verse 15. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar. So there's a building project here, the temple. The lesson, though I haven't actually read all of the verses yet, is that God involves Himself. God gets involved in the work when His people truly build for Him, in the physical realm or the spiritual realm. God gets involved in the work when we truly build for Him. Verse 22. And kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. They would never have built the house if God hadn't worked on the heart of Cyrus. Cyrus defeated Babylon, and he knew that God wanted him to allow the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild. God was at work. When they went back to rebuild, they had His blessing. They had His help. Why? God. God gets involved when we do His work, whether it's physical or in the spiritual realm. In spite of any hardships, we can certainly say that God has intervened here in this place, I think. This building's 170 years old. There's been a lot of worship going on in these walls. And God has certainly intervened. This part here was built in the 1960s. The educational wing back here. And God, there were building projects. There have always been things going in here. Praise God that, hey, it's still here and we're still worshiping the Lord these 170 years later. I think that's wonderful. Praise God. As we go on building, physically or spiritually, we should be mindful of His presence and of His intervention. God intervenes when people build for Him in either realm. This lesson was unquestionably intended for us by God and illustrated in this building project. The temple was built by Solomon as well. We're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 11. 2 Chronicles 7, talking about Solomon's prayer of dedication. And we'll begin in verse 1, actually. 2 Chronicles 7, 1. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and the house for His kingdom. And verse 11 says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. So he built this house for the Lord, the house of the Lord, built for the Lord. Lesson number 4, God will receive the work of men's hands. God will accept. God in heaven will accept. Even in the physical realm, the things that we give Him. Does that make sense? We can give the Lord our children. We can give the Lord our fellowship, our church here. Belongs to the Lord. We can give the Lord the physical building. I would assume that was done sometime way back. None of us were here when they started. Probably dedicated this building to the Lord. Churches do that. It's a good thing, I think. It's God's house, God's building. His presence is not manifest in here in the same way it was in Israel, in the tabernacle and the temple, but it is manifest here, especially when we're here, right? His manifest presence is in us. So this place ought to glow with the presence of God when we worship here together. Interesting thought. But God accepts the things that men do and give to Him. Look at verse 12, 7:12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Solomon built the house. He gave it to the Lord, and the Lord said, I accept. I accept. Lesson number 5 also found in here, chapter 7, and verse 13, lesson number 5, is there something special in the mind of God about something that's been consecrated to Him? It's His. Think of all of the utensils, the tools of the Levitical priesthood. They are hallowed. They are consecrated to the Lord. And if you touch them, then they're adulterated by the sinfulness of somebody who's ceremonially unclean. And that's how they lived. When something belongs to the Lord, it's important to the Lord. Do you agree? If it's a spiritual thing, spiritual realm, certainly. In the physical realm, certainly, I think. I think, and I'll apply this to the physical realm. Don't you think the church house needs to look good? Yeah, it's God's. This belongs to God. We take care of it. We're stewards for Him. Don't you think it ought to look as good, at least as good as your house? We got some work to do, don't we? Because some places it doesn't look quite that good. But this is God's house. God accepts this from us, I believe. We know that we can do something in the spiritual realm. We can give it to God. But imagine being able to give Him something, give the God of heaven something physical, and He accepts it to use it here, consecrate it to Him. What we give to God today is His forever. It's His forever, and it should be treated as such. These lessons were unquestionably taught, I believe, in the story of a building project in the Bible. Lastly, let me ask you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, and we'll talk about the walls of Jerusalem. If we weren't doing what we're doing right now, we would be talking about Nehemiah tonight, because that's what we're studying. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3, the latter part of the verse. 1:3, the latter part of the verse. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. That's what Nehemiah heard. In chapter 6 and verse 15, 6:15, it says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. How long did it take? 52 days to build the wall around the city. That would be an amazing feat today. And they built that wall back up. They built the wall back up in 52 days. The lesson is this: God's enemies are discouraged when His people build, in the physical realm or the spiritual. If we have revival here, God's enemies will hate it. If we work on our church building and things look good around here, and people ride by and they notice that, God's people will love it, and the world will hate it. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, this is 6:16. It came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. Praise the Lord. Right? for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Oh, wouldn't it be great? People ride by and they perceive that this work, 331 Main Street, Corinth, Maine, this work is wrought by God. That's what we want in the physical and in the spiritual realm. Brothers and sisters, let's make a difference. What do you say? Let's make a difference in the world we live in our part of the world. Let us pray that as they see the Lord interceding in the physical and spiritual realm here, the enemies of God will be disheartened and their objectives will be thwarted. This lesson taught again, in a building project recorded in the Scripture. A lot we can learn from this, isn't it? In both realms. You say, well, I don't know if I like your applications. Well, get your own. But they're there. There are things here that we learn about God. We learn about God and how God works. And we can look at the application of things, but we can also examine the implications because of how God works in these things. Let me just review the six. God gives explicit instruction and blesses when we follow. A building project is not finished until God is glorified in it and His presence is manifested. God's enemies are discouraged when His people build. God will receive the work of men's hands. There's something special in the mind of God about what is consecrated to Him. And God involves Himself in the work when people truly build for Him. That's a different order, isn't it, than I gave them? But you got it there, I think. And so I wanted to share that with you tonight and ask you to give some thought. You can look back and read. There's so much more in each of those passages for us. But we just sort of skim through tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I pray, dear God, that You would bless, encourage our hearts, help us, Lord, in the building projects that are before us, the physical building projects, and, Lord, the spiritual building projects as well. Help us to desire what You desire, Lord, only to know Your will, only to do Your way. And, Lord, we give it all to You. In the spiritual realm, we ask the same thing. Lord, help us to be successful. Help us to be achieving something new every week, every month, Lord, in the spiritual realm, in our evangelism and discipleship and edification and the many ministries that we have here, Lord, that we do that are to achieve those things. Lord, give fruit for Your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.